The Gemara Maseches Yoma Daf Tetum Abed teaches us that the second base of Mikdash was destroyed as a result of the Sinas Chinam between the Jewish people. So that means for us, one of the big tikkunim of the 9 days is to try and fix the way we're interacting with our fellow Jews. So let's go over a few situations and let's see how we could express boundless love during these 9 days to try and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. There's an idea that I've expressed before, which is that all the Jewish people share one body. We all come from that body of Adam HaRishon, and we all share that original source. And although it's not always visible for all of us, but the true tzaddikim see every yid, and they see themselves as a part of this greater body. And when another person is in pain, so the tzaddik is in pain. And when another person is rejoicing, so the tzaddik is rejoicing with them. To be mechubar to our fellow yidin, that's the goal. Right? To be attached to every yid. We can't be disconnected from the pain or the joy of our brothers and sisters. So let's try and go through a few ideas that will help us connect to our fellow man in the proper way. When the Chozo of Lublin was looking to get a haircut, so his chassidim would gather all the barbers of the town. And it would be somewhat of almost a competition of who was the person who would merit to give the Chozo, the great tzaddik, a haircut before Chag. And it might sound like a funny thing, but it affected the Chozo in such a way that if a person who wasn't befitting would go and touch him, so then it would actually bring the Chozo physical pain. So before Chag, before the Chozo was going to get his haircut, all the barbers, you know, they'd start getting ready, prepare that I want to be the one to give the Chozo a haircut. So they'd go to the mikvah and they'd start saying Tehillim and doing tshuva and really working on themselves to make themselves roy, to make themselves fitting that I'm going to be the one to give the Chozo a haircut. So the day comes, you know, where they announce, okay, the tryouts are going to start today. So the people, the barbers line up and the Chozo is sitting there. And from one barber to the next, they're all getting shut down. They don't know what to do. The Gabayim, at a certain point, they go through the entire long line of haircutters. And none of them were the right ones for the Chozo. They all brought him pain when they touched his hair. So what were they going to do? They said, okay, we'll have a second day of tryouts and we'll have to go searching. Maybe there's some barbers that didn't come. Maybe they didn't hear about this announcement. Maybe they weren't interested. We're going to find them and we'll bring them to the Chozo because the Maisa, the Chozo has to get a haircut before Chag. So they go around and they start looking for more and more barbers and they find a few people who didn't come to the first cut. They didn't come to the first tryouts. So they bring these barbers and they urge them, please, please come, try and give the Chozo a haircut. It's for the big tzaddik, he needs a haircut. So they come and the same thing. They're not roy. They're not fitting. The Gabayim don't know what to do anymore. The assistants of the Chozo are saying, you know, what are we supposed to do? No one in this town that's a haircutter is holy enough to cut his hair, so what are we supposed to do? And at this point, they're starting to fall into despair. And they go and ask the Chozo. They say, Rebbe, we tried so hard to gather all the people from the town, all the people that know how to cut hair. And none of them were fitting. So what are we supposed to do? So the Chozo says, no. You didn't get everyone. Go look again. He said, Rebbe, we looked all over town. Even after we got all the barbers and we announced the mood of the post, we still went back again to look for more barbers. He said, go look again. So they go out. And they find one or two more barbers that hadn't come. And they thought, maybe this is what the Chozo had in mind. I don't really see how this person is going to be, you know, the right one to give the Chozo a haircut after all those barbers just lined up and none of those were. Maybe this guy will be the right one. And they try with these other few barbers that they found, and no, those aren't good either. At this point, they're really ready to give up. And the Chozo says, there are more barbers. Please, please keep looking. So they go back out, and they find another barber. And this barber seemed completely different than the rest. While all the rest, you know, they were on varying levels of observance and religiosity and connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it seemed like this one was the furthest from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just very distant. externally, he looked like someone that probably wasn't even Shomer Shabbos, Shomer Mitzvos. But what are they supposed to do? This is the only other barber they see in the entire town, in the outskirts of the town, that could be what the Rebbe's talking about. So we'll try. What do we have to lose at this point? Let's try. So they bring this man. They bring this man to the Choza. And they're all waiting for the Choza to scream out in pain. And this man touches the Choza's head. And the Choza gives a deep sigh. And the Chassidim understand that this is the right man. But they're shocked. How could it be that this man, right, we just brought all these Yidden that look like true Tzaddikim. And they seem very righteous people. And yet this Yid who seems so disconnected is the right one to give the Choza a haircut? So after the haircut, the Chassidim follow this Yid. And you know, they give him a drink or two. They try and open him up a little bit. And they ask him, so Nu, what is it? What is it that you had the schus to give the Choza a haircut? Because to be real, you know, you seem like a nice guy, but like, come on. Like, we don't need to spell it out for you. It seems pretty obvious that there are people that are a lot more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're a lot more holy. They're a lot more observant than you are. So this barber responds, I'm not really sure what to tell you. I don't know. I don't think I'm so holy either. I don't know why I was zocheh. I don't know why I merited to have such an amazing opportunity to give the Choza a haircut. But the Chassidim push further. Was there something you've done in your life? Was there an ancestor of yours that maybe beschus that ancestor? So the barber says, you know, there was one thing. There was one thing I could think of maybe. A few years ago, there was a commotion in the marketplace. And I went to go check out what was going on there. And there were these two non-Jewish soldiers. And they were arresting this old Jewish man. And they had claimed that there was something stolen in the town and that they know that this Jewish man did it. But really, the way it worked in that town was whenever something happened, whenever a law was broken, or whenever the non-Jews just wanted to get back at the Jews, they wanted to take out their anger on them, so they would make up some claim and then they would go and arrest any Jew they found. And they would charge him on these claims. So they declared that this old man, he stole from the stand over there. He's the one who stole. And therefore, we're going to give him lashes. So the barber tells the Chassidim, I saw very clearly that if this old man starts getting lashes, maybe he'll make it through one of them, maybe two. But by the third one, he'll be dead. There's no chance. So I went up to the soldiers and I screamed, no, it was me. I'm the one who did it. Let him go, take me instead. And the barber lifts up his shirt and he shows the Chassidim that to this day, years later, he still has the welts on his back from the beating that he took from those soldiers. The beating that he took because he was taking the place of another Jew. Another Jew who we know couldn't withstand that pain. That was the barber that the Choza felt should be the one to give him a haircut. And Chevra, this is the sensitivity we're looking for. That if another Yid is in pain, it brings me pain. I can't live in my own world when another person is in their pain. And also the same thing in joy. Joy is contagious and it has to be contagious. When a fellow Yid, right, my brother or sister, is having a simcha, so I am mamish b'simcha. The Meir Shiloach writes in Parshas Kedoshim, on the Pasuk Ishimo v'aviv tirahu, he writes that a child loves the taste of honey. Right? There's nothing sweeter than the taste of honey on a child's tongue. But what happens if he eats too much of it? If the child eats too much of it, it might taste good on his tongue at first, but on the rest of his organs and his body, it could bring him pain. Right? And so much so that these organs can cause the tongue to end up hurting. So too all of Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael are different organs, but we're all part of the same body. So we have to ask ourselves, how can I get to the point where I actually feel this way? I actually feel that my fellow Yid is a part of me, is one with me. Because all sin is chinam and all hatred comes from this lacking in an understanding of the idea that we're all connected, that we're all one. Or a chaver, someone that we're mechubar to, we're connected to. Kol Yisrael chaverim, we're supposed to be connected to every single Yid. Ava, as this firm point out, has the same gematria as the word echad. Ahava and echad. Love and one have the same gematria. Right? And the teaching is that when we realize that we're all one, when we're connected to that teaching, right, that every single person I see, although it seems like they're disconnected from me because they're in their own bodies, when I realize at root, at the source, that we're all one, so then there's nothing that exists between us. The only thing that exists between us is a great love that connects all of us. And what causes fighting and disagreement and separation is just that. It's viewing ourselves as so separate from another person. And we see this in a very real way. Sometimes somebody we're close to does something and it doesn't bother us at all. Right? They say something to us, they do something to us, and it doesn't bother us, bichlal. I don't even think about it twice. That same thing another person could do, and because I don't feel connected to that person, it really bothers me. Right? And regardless of what's right on their part, let's just talk about our part for now. On our part, if we really felt, if we really believed, and we really saw that every single person is connected to us, so then it probably wouldn't bother us as much. But the Maaseh, we need to strengthen the love between us and other people. Right? We need the love to be going to and from. Right? When A is showing love to B and B is showing love to A, when there's acceptance, and when there's kindness, and when there's care, so then we have that love flowing from one person to the next. You have that two-way street of Ahava. Right? And Ahava, if you multiply it times two, right, because it's going in both directions between people, so it equals the gematria of Hashem's name, of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Right? And this is alluded to in the Pasuk, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha ani Hashem. When you love another like you love yourself, right? I love myself, and I'm sending that same love of myself towards another person, and that same person loves themselves, and they're taking that love, and they're sending it towards me, so ani Hashem. And then that spells out Hashem. That's Hashem's name right there, chaver. Right, when there's this connection and care between people for another person, even if it's someone we don't know, or even if it's someone we disagree with, if there's the mutual respect for myself to them and from them to me, so that's the two times Ahava, and that's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're creating. And on the other side, Lo Aleinu, if a person causes pain to another person, so it's literally a Chilul Hashem. It's a desecration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Every person has a neshama. Right, they're part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when we rip into that person, when we desecrate the person, we're desecrating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Aleinu. So for the remainder of the 9 days, maybe one thing we could try and do in our avoda with other people is to be a little bit more sensitive. Right, to try and see a little bit more that even if it's hard for me to understand right now that this person is an extension of myself, let me try and pretend like they are. And would I say this to myself? Or would I be forgiving to myself if I made a mistake? Because if someone else makes a mistake, right, and they're an extension of myself, maybe I could be a little bit more forgiving to them now. Or maybe before I make a joke, right, maybe I'm going to just be extra careful to make sure that I'm not being a mezazel. It's not going to hurt another person. Right? Even if it's a really good joke, maybe I could try these 9 days to try a little bit harder, that if it's something that could hurt another person, to hold back. And maybe for this short stretch of time, we could also work on being less makbid on our own kavod, and more makbid on the kavod of Am Yisrael as a whole, and on our brothers and sisters. If someone says something that we don't appreciate, so maybe we could try. We could try not to respond, even if it insulted me. Even if I feel like, you know, someone should set them straight. Because at the end of the day, it's not my kavod that's the most important thing, it's Hashem's. Right? And then there are times when we were working on this and we said, okay, I'm not going to respond to this person. They did something that wasn't considerate. They did something that wasn't nice. And 5 minutes later, we end up saying it. And we feel like, it's for nothing. You know, we lost. But we should know that it's important that in this whole greater discussion, to keep in mind that those 5 minutes, right, where we tried to be a little bit more makbid, right, on the Jewish people as a whole, and not to hurt another person's feelings, even if they hurt ours, we should understand that those 5 minutes Hashem frames and He puts on the wall. No effort is lost. Any lessening of my kavod for the kavod of the Jewish people is a major accomplishment, even if that only lasts 5 minutes. It's a major accomplishment. It might seem like a tiny pebble, it's worth nothing, but you know what you could do with a million pebbles? You could do with a million small rocks, you could build a great structure. And Talmidei Chachamim are called builders, because they take all these rocks and they show us that they build great structures. And B'ezrat Hashem, the pebbles, the rocks, that are Maisim Tovim, that we see, we think that, nah, in the end, we didn't succeed. We came back and we said something that wasn't nice. We ended up saying the joke. For those 5 minutes when we didn't say the joke, every small effort, it's not a pebble on the floor. It's a pebble that's being used to build the great structure, the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Every effort is great in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. Hashem should help us see that. We mechazik ourselves. And we should be zocha to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. B'mehra B'yaminu.